Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. You're listening in to 88.5 FM KRFY with me, Julie Calamine, your Tuesday morning show host, and my co-host, Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Julie.
How are you?
I'm good. We're both here. I'm going to leap ahead to the weather. It's snowing outside.
I have noticed because I had to drive in, as you did as well.
Take a little extra time, use a little extra caution. The roads are slick, and not everyone slows down like they should.
It's true, and there are people on the roads this morning, so we must be careful.
Yes.
Well, the rest of the weather is basically that. Snow, 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 and snow. Highs in the middle 30s up to the 40s, so it may be a mix of rain and snow this week, but we definitely have snow coming, and I think that means snow up on the mountain.
Yeah, the skiers are happy.
That's good. Good for all of us. And it's New Year's Eve Day.
It is New Year's Eve Day. Some say the longest day of the year.
It does seem a long night anyway. It's a long, short day and a long night.
If you're up now, you're up early for the morning show, and you'll probably be up at midnight celebrating.
That's right. Phil, have you made any resolutions for 2020?
I'm still trying to figure out 2019. I have some time left.
You're still working on those. Well, you have today. I have three, and they're big ones.
What are they?
One is to try and be on time. That's good.
Good.
The second is to eat breakfast a little more regularly.
Good.
And I think I've forgotten the third. Oh, darn it. Well, two is pretty good.
To try to remember one and two.
That's right. I'll have to stick with the two. Well, we have wonderful guests this morning, and they're going to come in one at a time. So I'm just going to name them, but then we'll introduce them. So we're going to be joined by folks who have helped organize some of the really great outdoor recreational events that happen in Sandpoint throughout the year. And we're going to be chatting with Mel Dick, who of Chafe 150, who's here already. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning.
So happy to have you join us on this snowy New Year's Eve day. We'll then be talking with Jim Zuberbuehler, who helps with the Long Bridge Swim. After that, it's going to be Charles Mortensen talking about the three-quarter minus cycle tour and maybe cyclocross. And then finally, we'll be talking with Kate McAllister of the Chamber to fill us in on everything else that we've missed.
Yeah, I think she'll focus in on the Scenic Half, one of the big marquee events. And as local residents and avid listeners will recognize, these are some of the highlights of the year on the recreation calendar. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened last year with each event and a little bit about going forward. But it's pretty short for each segment, so we'll launch right into it. Mel, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning.
And there's so many things you could talk about, but this morning we're going to focus in on the Chafe sponsored by the Rotary Club.
That's correct.
Give us a brief background thumbnail of what the event's all about.
Yeah, the Chafe 150 is a bicycle ride. It's a one-day ride that takes place here, starts in Sandpoint and ends in Sandpoint. We're going into our 13th year of the ride. The Sandpoint Rotary has been working on the ride for the last 7 years. Prior to that, the Panhandle Alliance for Education actually started the ride back in 2008, and it was for an educational cause at that point in time. It was for their Ready for Kindergarten program, and then the Rotary Club took it over in 5 years after that. So it's been a great ride. It's always on the third Saturday of June. So this year's ride was on June 19th. Next year's ride will be on June 20th. Probably one of the best events and best rides in the entire region. In fact, last year we were named the number 3 charity bicycle ride in the country by Bicycling Magazine, which is probably arguably the biggest road cycling magazine publication in the country.
Wonderful to hear. Well, Mel, what is so special about the Chafe?
You know, what's special about the Chafe is just about everything with the Chafe. First of all, the scenery is unbelievable. If you ride the 150-mile ride, you start in Sandpoint, you go up to Bonner's Ferry, down into Troy, follow the Bull River Valley, and then come back along the river and along the lake, and you finish up with a massive after-ride party on City Beach Park. If you ride the 80- and the 100-mile ride, you start in Troy, and you come back the same route as the 150-mile ride. The 100-milers do get to go through Selly Valley, where they join the 25- and the 40-mile route. So the scenery's fantastic. The sport's awesome. A number of years ago, we were named one of the top 10 scenic rides in the country as well.
It's just a wonderful thing, a lap around the Cabinet Mountains.
It is. It is.
And there are some stations that are really fabulous along the way. I helped out at a couple over the years, and it's a real community event.
Yes, and Phil brings up a great point. We are known for our ride support. So we have six different community organizations that are involved with our rest stops, Scotchman's Peaks being one of them, the Rotary Club, Lake Ponderay, School District, et cetera.
And our very own KRFY.
And KRFY, of course.
I think we do the short course.
We do, and it's at the Pack River Store. What could be nicer?
Well, and that's one of the changes we're going to make this year. The rest stop is going to be at the Northside Elementary School this year, which will be a little bit easier. It won't be quite as congested. More room for the riders and more room for the rest stop folks. So
Makes sense. It's kind of a troublesome left turn into Pack River
Store. It is a tough turn.
Yes.
So tell us about the numbers. This is a pretty well-attended event.
Yeah, 2019 was a breakout year for us. Prior to that, we started out with about 75 riders the first year, and we could never quite get over that 300 to 325. But in 19, we had over 500 registered riders. So that was clearly a breakout year. We have over 100 sponsors that sponsored the ride during 2019, and we're in the process of doing our sponsorship drive for 2020. So you can go to our website if you're interested in sponsoring. The website is www.chafe150.org.
So there's room for more participants and more sponsors?
There is room for more participants and more sponsors. We've always wanted to cap the ride right around 500 or so. However, the way the ride works, there's a 150-mile route, there's a 100-mile, 80-mile, 25, and 40. And then last year, one of the highlights was a new route that we added, which was the Family Fun Ride. And we had about 85 participants in the Family Fun Ride. So that was part of our growth last year.
Mm-hmm. And riders want to raise money.
Riders want to raise money. Our cause for the last several years is, well, since the beginning of the ride, the cause has been education-related. Last year's ride was for the after-school reading and literacy program at the schools district, our local school district, Lake Ponderay Schools, and for other Rotary youth and educational programs. So last year, from when I say last year, I'm forgetting that this is 2019 yet. This year, we were able to donate $60,000 to the school district's after-school reading program. And we know that's making a difference. And then we also had another $15,000 that we were able to donate to some of our other education causes.
Mm-hmm. Mel, you've mentioned one change, which is where the riders will stop on the short ride. But are there any other changes for 2020?
The only other change we are considering is a possible route change for the Family Fun Ride. And that would make it a little bit safer for that ride. It would be on the bicycle path. And we're really looking into that. Mm-hmm. May or may not be able to do it. A lot depends on where we can finish it up.
Yeah. Now, one of the recurrent themes we're going to talk about with a little bit about with each of our topics today is there's also an impact to Sandpoint, Bonner County, North Idaho, really, with 500 riders. One would imagine many of them are coming from out of the area.
I would say probably 60%+ of our riders are from outside of Sandpoint. Mm-hmm. And so the economic impact, and Kate could really tell you more about that, yeah. But I would guess it's a couple $100,000 or more.
And we're going to close with Kate. Maybe hopefully she'll have a rough estimate about the impact of all these events. But as a rough barometer, they bring in a lot of visitors who come and spend money in restaurants, bars, hotels, et cetera.
And shop.
Well, Mel, I know you wanted to mention a few of the sponsors before we wrap up your segment, so we better do that.
Before we got to that, I just want to mention one thing that was really special last year. We had the Paralympic gold medalist champion bicyclist do the ride with us last year, and he was absolutely amazing. He's from Cranbrook, Canada. He is a world champion, and to see someone at that caliber of level ride was absolutely amazing. We had a dinner with him. We're hoping he's going to ride again this year.
How neat. But there must be a bunch of great riders.
Oh, there are some incredible riders. But our sponsors, and none of this would be possible without our sponsors. Our sponsors for the upcoming year are Like Media, Ting, Timberline Helicopters, Remax. And then we've got a number of what we call gold level sponsors, ranging from Kachava to 7VTV, Washington Trust, Ilana Westfall, Bonner County Daily Bee, Greasy Fingers, Bonner General Hospital, Trinity at City Beach, Williams and Parsons, KPND, Ponderay Mechanical, and lastly, the 219 Lounge.
And of course, none of it would be possible without the Rotary's Club active participation as an organizer.
That's right. It takes approximately 150 people to put this ride on during the day of a ride, and we actually work on it year-round. So I have a meeting at 10:15 this morning where we're going to go through our marketing.
All right. Well, it seemed like too short of an interview for such a great event, but we've have so darn many in Sandpoint that we're going to have to end this one for now, Mel.
Well, I really appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And in honor of bicycling, and as we all know, this is one of Phil's favorite songs, we're going to hear And there it is, Queen with Bicycle Race. One of your favorites, I know, Phil.
Oh, yeah.
And perfect for today.
It's got that upbeat tempo.
That's right. For those of you just joining us, this is KRFY Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle. And if you're not able to hear us very well on your radio, you can always live stream at krfy.org.
And we're taking this opportunity on New Year's Eve to do a retrospective of some of the major events that occur in our region. On an annual basis, so we're looking a little bit at what happened last year and next year to a number of profile marquee events, and the one coming up now is the Longbridge Swim. We have with us today Jim Zuberbühler, who right now is Mr. Longbridge Swim. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Jim, a brief history of the Longbridge Swim, please.
Well, as I think many people know, we celebrated our 25th year this past summer in August. The swim was founded by Eric Ridgway 25 years ago. Actually, he did it 26 years ago with a couple of friends, and it was so successful that he announced that he wanted to do it again, and I think it was 67 of his closest friends joined him that year. So 68 people did it our first official year, and it's grown ever since. And then, gosh, let's see, I got involved. I did it the first year in 2001, and then Eric asked me to help out starting in 2007. So I've been involved actively as a volunteer since 2007.
And Mel Dick, talking about the Chafe, was mentioning how that event has grown. And just how large has the Longbridge Swim grown to?
We now have about 750 swimmers each year, which has really been a nice size for us.
That's amazing.
It's just great. And unlike a lot of the other events, we do not market or advertise at all. We don't need to. We have really hit a nice size as an event, and that's just what happens.
It's all word of mouth within the distance swimming community.
Distance swimming, and we actually, it was interesting to hear Mel, make some comments about some of the accolades they've received. 2 years ago, we were named in the top 100 open water swims in the world.
Wow.
And there are a lot of open water swims. There are thousands of open water swims worldwide, and we are ranked in the top 100.
It must have some uniqueness. I can't imagine many of those open water swims have a pedestrian bridge where people can line up the length of the course.
That's a very good point, Phil, and that is one of the things that makes us unique. You can spectate, with our swim, which is just not possible and not in the way that you can. Here, you can walk along, watch your spouse, kids, parent, Uncle Bob, whoever, swimming. And that's just incredible. You can watch them the whole way.
And while you don't have the rest stops with the food and beverage, there are a core of volunteers who help out with safety kayaks along the side of the route.
Actually, that's a significant part of our safety apparatus, but we have 250 people on race day volunteering. So there's one volunteer for every three swimmers, Phil.
That's got to be very comforting for folks that may not have done the swim before.
That's right. It's really important, and we really encourage people to try this, even if they haven't, if they don't have any idea that they can do it. And we have at least 150 people each year who come, and they don't know if they can make it across the lake. And it's a very supportive, safe environment for this.
And one of the challenging things for, I was going to say first timers, but really for everybody, is the water temperature can be quite cold, being the kind of body of water it is.
That's often a fear for people. It's actually remarkably consistent. It's almost always in the high 60s. It's 68 to maybe 72 almost every year.
which must be okay if you're working hard swimming.
That's better than it sounds most of the time on the lake.
It is, and it's actually just right. So you can, about half the participants do it with a wetsuit, and of course the other half without.
Well, Jim, were there any special moments this year?
We always have some special moments. One of the things we are very proud of is helping people with special needs. We almost always have, whether it's a blind swimmer, someone who's a paraplegic, someone who has MS, polio. I had a swimmer call me back in the spring, childhood polio. And he just found swimming a few months before that. He's probably close to our age, Phil. Very confident that he could do the swim, but he wanted to know about our support mechanism. And that's an easy yes for us, that we can help people like that. Probably the biggest moment was in the spring. I met a swimmer over at the YMCA. I noticed that he was, a little older than most, but really good swimmer. And I asked him, "Are you training for the Longbridge swim?" And he said, "Well, no, but I've heard of that." And I said, "Well, how long have you lived here?" And he said, "2 years." I said, Next week, I met him again. I asked him, "How old are you?" He said, "Well, I'm 90.
Oh, my.
So I encouraged him to do the swim. And we then got him down to Dog Beach in June, got him a wetsuit. He'd never been in a race. He'd never done an open water swim. Chuck Milton completed the swim in an hour and 31 minutes.
Wow.
He was our first nonagenarian. We've had plenty of 80-somethings. He also won the 80 and above age category.
That is amazing.
It was doubly fun for me on a personal level because I swam with my 9-year-old daughter this year, and she happened to be the youngest swimmer. Mm-hmm. And so the paper did do an article on the two of them from 9 to 90.
9 to 90.
And in the middle of the interview, she did remark, she looked over at Chuck, and she's focused on her times tables, and she said, "Chuck, you're exactly 10 times as old as me."
That's quite amazing.
Oh, it was really fun. So they both did well.
What a fabulous event. And we'd be remiss if we don't spend at least a little time talking about what happens, what the event benefits, the vision for the overall structure throughout the year.
That's right. Phil, we've emerged as, we were a one-day community event for the first 15 years of the Longbridge Swim. And then 10 years ago, 11 years ago, we started a swim lessons program, which at first we grew organically. Now it's a machine. We now serve all of the third grade classes in the Lake Pendre School District and most of the other school kids, including homeschool students, special education students. We're now serving 1,000 students a year with swim lessons. Our mission is to have no child get past third grade without learning how to swim.
This I know because I hear it as a statement on KRFY frequently.
And it's such a clear vision, and would be wonderful in any community, but especially in one here where water defines so much of the quality of life of our area.
That's right. And that was the genesis of the project. So we have, I should mention that with our core group of volunteers, we have 10 department chairs that run this organization through the year, all volunteer. We have no paid staff, which makes us unique among these large marquee events. We still very proudly manage it with all volunteers, including coordinating the swim lessons program, scheduling all those, kids, classes, coordinating with the YMCA. It's a big deal to get all that right. So one of the things I wanted to mention today was Bonner's Ferry, City of Bonner's Ferry, reached out to us a few months ago. They want to know if we can help them replicate our program. Can we fold them in? And so we've said yes. We've already had one visit up there, and our expectation is that by this next summer, they will be part of our program. So we'll have it in a second county, which we're very excited about.
Fabulous. When things start to happen with that, we'll have to have you back on and do a longer show so we can delve into everything that means. For now, we've just got about a minute or so left before we need to move on to the next segment. Run down some numbers for this year, important numbers like what are the dates and how can people are interested find out more.
We're always on the first Saturday in August, so this year it'll be Saturday, August 1st. Registration is open. Today is the last day for the current registration fee, so it's quite inexpensive. If you want to get on longbridgeswim.org and register, so that's great. We like to have local folks register. As Mel was saying, most of our swimmers come from out of the area. We do attract swimmers from about 25 states and at least a dozen countries. Our family from Barcelona came for their 10th year this past year. We had someone from American Samoa, lots of other Europeans. It's a great, fun event. People from all over.
Fabulous way to showcase the area. Jim, thank you for joining us this morning.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Jim. Not to be missed. Even I will be able to remember August 1st, Phil. Great.
8-1.
That's right. Well, Jim, thank you. And in honor of our next guest, we're going to have a little swimming song. So we'll be back shortly with...
Well, that seemed like a good, fun, festive song for the day.
I know. Loudon Wainwright III, the swimming song.
Yeah, and that gets us ready for our next guest. We have in the studio with us Charles Mortensen. He's going to talk about a couple of cycling events. Every year, usually, we've had the cyclocross that took a hiatus this last year, but it'll be coming back.
Right.
We're going to touch base on that. But this year, we had an inaugural event, the 3/4 minus cycle tour.
Right.
And let's start with that. What exactly is a 3/4 minus cycle tour for the uninitiated?
The name 3/4 minus refers to gravel, which is, you know, a grade of gravel that they use for roadbeds, essentially gravel roads, that kind of thing. And it's 3/4 inches in diameter and smaller, essentially. Low grade gravel.
So this doesn't sound like something you take your Schwinn 10 speed that you grew up on out.
Well, you could.
Okay.
But what most people ride is what you call a gravel bike or a cyclocross bike, essentially a road bike with knobby tires. But you know, for our event, and so the other part of the name, cycle tour, is Danish for bike ride, essentially. Scandinavian, I think it's Swedish also. But so the way we these events, these gravel rides, or gravel grinders, they're called, are becoming very popular throughout the country. There's a lot of events. And this is the first one that we've had in our area. And this year in May was the first one that we held. So we're hoping to make it inaugural event.
So tell us, where did you find the perfect roadbed for the 3/4 miles? Well,
you know, the biggest challenge was finding enough gravel road. You know, it's a mix of paved and gravel road, dirt road. It's a big loop that heads north from town. We started right on Oak Street. Our start and finish line is between Matchwood and Syringa Cyclery. And it goes up through the Selly Valley and north into the hills, north of Selly Valley. Loops around through Grouse Creek and Upper Gold Creek Road and down past Pack River Store and back into town. We're changing the course a little bit this year. That part of it is going to be the same, but we're going to come into town across Selly, or across 95, down Boyer and to the west of town instead of through Kootenay and Pondere like we did this year.
And so year one, how many participants?
We had 128 riders the first year.
Very good. That's a good number.
A little bit more than half of those riders came from out of town. So these are events that people are seeking out. You know, people are looking for these events and traveling for them.
Putting that into some context, we just had folks on to talk about the Chafe Ride, which in its inaugural year had a little over 70 people. Longbridge Swim, which in its first year had about 70 people. And here we have this 3/4 minus cycle tour. Not quite doubling that, but almost.
Yeah, it was. We were surprised that we had that many. We were, you know, thinking that we would have maybe 50 or 70. And so we were pleasantly surprised, a little bit nervous about it, but went off without a hitch.
Where do you think it goes?
I think it goes bigger. These gravel events seem to be overtaking road riding to some degree. People are sort of straying away from the paved, busy roads and trying to find roads that are less traveled by vehicles to ride on. And They're a lot of fun.
And Charles, our two previous guests mentioned that folks who have really never done much swimming or much biking have participated in the events. How is it for the cycle tour? Might a beginner try it?
Absolutely. We have, it's not a race officially, although, you know, some people do race it. We have two routes, a short route and a long route. The short route is still kind of long. It's this year it'll be, or next year will be 52 miles. A little bit less gravelly than the longer route. But, you know, we had, I don't know who the what the youngest age was, but we had all sorts of different people, some of them on mountain bikes, some of them on road bikes, some of them on gravel or cyclocross bikes.
Well, one high point of this year was the number of participants. That was great. Were there any other memorable moments you'd like to share with us?
Nothing stands out. I think just the way we were kind of nervous leading up to it. We had snow on part of the route the week before. And as it turned out, everything went off without a hitch. We had a beautiful day. We had a great venue at Matchwood for the after party with a live band and food. And we really lucked out. Everything about it just
came together.
Came together really well.
The timing this year, what were the dates again?
First week in May, Saturday. So for next year or 2020, it'll be May 2nd. And we haven't quite gotten up registration online yet, but I'm hoping to do that probably in February. Still working out some details, but as far as changes for this year, we're changing the, as I mentioned, the course a little bit. It's going to, the long route is going to come through Pine Street Woods. So we'll go up the access road and do a little ride around the meadow and then connect to Greta's and through Ravenwood. We are doing our volunteers a little bit differently, trying to involve different organizations and businesses, local businesses, to manage different logistical aspects like rest stations and that sort of thing. So, for example, the Pondere Winery and Kinnickso Land Trust are going to manage the Pine Street Woods station, which will include directing riders and feeding them as needed. And
it's a fabulous event. We want to make sure we touch also on the cyclocross before we go. But tell us if folks want to get more involved, if they want to sign up, what's the best way to find out information about the Three Quarter Minus Cycle Tour?
Probably call Syringa Cyclery or email syringacyclery at gmail.com. The phone number is 208-610-9990.
All right.
And then eventually I will have a bunch of social media postings as we get closer to it. Excellent. In the next month or so.
So in just a few minutes, tell us the short history of cyclocross here in the Sandpoint area.
So cyclocross was started as a benefit for Team Autism 24/7 and organized by that organization in 2012. We did it through last year, 2018. This year, none of us had the time to organize it. So we decided we would take a hiatus this year. And things were a little bit up in the air with our venue at the U of I property on North Boyer, which recently sold and will not be available to us. So we've had some informal discussions with Kinnickso Land Trust about possibly holding it up at Pine Street Woods, which is a beautiful venue for cyclocross.
It would be nice to find a new home for it. It's a fun event to go watch.
I don't know, it's really fun.
In my crazy days, I look at it and think, oh, I could do that. But the reality is, I'd much rather watch.
Yeah.
It was another venue where spectators could really enjoy the event.
And I think Pine Street Woods would lend to that pretty well, too.
And that's been done in the fall, September, if I remember right.
Yes, we usually do it the first weekend in October.
In October, okay.
Or last weekend in September, which is when Oktoberfest traditionally is.
Our events space out very well, don't they?
It does. Well, we'll have to have you back on when this year's is scheduled.
I'd love to
know more
come
about
back on.
Where and such. But Thank you for joining us this morning, Charles.
You bet. Thank you.
Yes, Charles Mortensen, organizer of Three Quarter Minus Cycle Tour and maybe the Cycle Cross. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, in honor of an upcoming interview, we're going to be playing a little Tom Petty, who also passed away this year. So here comes a bit of Tom. Another perfect song for our morning, Phil.
If that didn't wake you up, I don't know what would.
That's right.
No, wait, I do. It's our next guest, Kate McAllister.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, Kate.
Why, thank you very much. It's a wonderful snowy day.
It is.
Kate is, for anyone who's new to the area, like in the last 12 hours, president of the Chamber of Commerce, incoming city councilwoman of Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's not what we're going to talk about today.
Today
we're going to talk about, we're reviewing some of the big marquee recreational events of the year that occur every year. What happened 2019? What's happening 2020? Mm-hmm. We want to talk to you about how all that ties together for economic impact for the area.
And
some specific focus on the events the Chamber puts on, which includes the Scenic Half.
Yeah, the Scenic Half Marathon. This year will be our 12th year, I believe. And it was started by Alan McClelland and Judy Thompson. And they started it with the idea of economic impact. Let's do something fun to get people here and also make them stay in the restaurant, in the hotels and go out to the restaurants. And we've done a really good job of that. At our high point, because it is a half marathon, we probably had 1,000 participants. That's when we had the 5K and... You know, but then pretty soon the market is flooded. And so we're averaging now about 6 to 650.
Wow, that's a great number of participants.
And that's without a 5K. Mm-hmm. We did add a 5K back this year, but we want to do it with a little bit of a spin in that we're hoping that elementary schools up to sixth grade have a fun run, a 5K fun run, and then they can raise money for their school. And we hope to sort of let schools vie for it. And, you know, the first couple of years won't be a lot of money, but once it gets going.
So Scenic Half draws to mind great scenery, which is abundant around here. You could probably go just about anywhere for 13 miles and call it scenic. But where does this one go?
Well, in the beginning, it went to Segal Elementary School. And then there was a problem at one of the crossings that people were not able to get through, and they were really upset. And the trail was getting too many roots and safety. We were worried about safety. So then someone thought, well, let's take it down Lakeshore. And it goes down Lakeshore about, 3.5-4 miles, just beyond Springy Point, and then comes back. And people love it. They love the different elevation. And, you know, with the traffic increase on the Segal Trail, we walked it one day, and just the noise and the fumes and the... It just wasn't great, and so we really love going down Lakeshore, and people love going across the bridge. And so 3/4 of the participants are not from here, and they really, when they come to town, it's like, oh my gosh, that was so magnificent. We just don't have scenery like that where we are. And along Lakeshore, you can see the lake.
That is so true. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So now I know you, Kate. You probably track where they come from.
We do.
Tell us more.
They come from everywhere. Really? We've had people from the UK. We had someone from Czechoslovakia one year. There's a lot of runner groups that want to do all 50 states. We get a lot of people from Canada. This year we had some from Illinois, Kansas, just about everywhere. And it's interesting, a lot from Spokane. We get a lot of people from Spokane. But they come from just about everywhere, which is interesting. And almost all of the, a little bit less than 3/4 are female.
Interesting.
So it really attracts female runners to the area.
And our previous guests mentioned the age ranges that participate in our events. Is there a large range of age?
Women from 35 to about 54 seem to be our biggest age group there. And it's very interesting. I always wondered why it attracts more women than men, and I don't know that yet. I wish that I did, but... You know, it's still a lovely, it's always a beautiful a beautiful thing to watch all these people show up and then go out and run it. And then they come back and say, wow, that was just the greatest run. And it's so fun meeting people from everywhere and then waiting around to give them trophies and even just little, you know, the little cheesy red, white and blue ribbons. They're so excited if they won their age group. And yeah.
Tell us about the timing of this event. Other events are pegged to a specific day, week, weekend of a certain month.
Well, you know, because Sandpoint has 150 active nonprofits, we really do try to look at a time when we're not stepping on anybody's toes. And so September was the time that they picked after Labor Day. The third weekend in September is where we do it. And it just kind of fit nicely because serious runners, they like that the kids are back in school. They, you know, they want to come here. And because we don't have a lot of kids run it, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. It's on a Sunday. And so, yeah, we don't have any. The only competition that we did have that kind of took some of our numbers away was the Coleman race in Coeur d'Alene. But that is no longer, I don't think they do that anymore. But, you know, you really have to want to be here to run this race. We're not just off the road like Coeur d'Alene or Spokane. So it's really nice. People do come here and want to stay the weekend. We hear all every year, oh, my gosh, we have to come back. We have to really come back in the summer or the winter if they're skiers. And because I think people don't even realize what we are. I imagine they look at a map and go, let's go to Sandpoint, Idaho and run 13 miles.
Well, heck, it's about the prettiest month of the year. What right? a perfect time to do a half marathon. Good temps, et cetera.
Yeah.
Good weather. Good weather for running. It's usually just a little cooler. And
for most part.
And good weather for visitors, too. The summer season's starting to slow down a little, so that boost is helpful, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, especially running the visitor center right after Labor Day weekend, it really becomes retirees. And that's probably till mid-October.
So let's talk a little bit before we end up wrapping up about the economic impact of all of these events.
Mm-hmm. I think that as a whole, anytime we can get a large group of people to stay in our hotels, to eat in our restaurants, to shop in our stores, you know, because our little stores experience two shoulder seasons. I mean, we're very thankful that we have some really good, you know, summertime and the winter skiing. But sometimes the shoulder seasons, especially if you're a new business, don't have a business plan and nobody told you it was coming. And so we're trying to find more events to happen in the shoulder season. Shoulder season starts probably mid to late October until now, until the ski hill gets going. And the chamber, we do have an event that we're thinking about doing this next October, but I'm not going to tell you. It's a secret.
Oh, to be announced.
Yeah. Well, and you know, also we're very lucky that the only grant that we can apply for, because we're a membership organization, a 501c6, is a state tourism grant. And so that we use that to bring people in for these events.
We're going to let you do that as long as you come back on our show for the big reveal sometime this summer.
Maybe.
That's right.
Maybe. Okay. All right. You know, I'd like to. The teasers are the best, right?
We
have talked about a big event, the Scenic Half Marathon. Are there another one or two that add economic impact and are adding to the recreational value of Sandpoint?
Well, I think that you've already, you know, talked to the last three, and we actually one time did try to do a triathlon with the chafe and the swim and the run, but unfortunately, it was a lot of work, and since the Scenic Half was the last one, it was difficult to keep track of who did what. It's a great idea, but... Right. Yeah,
it seems a lot of work. Unnatural. At some point, it may work out.
Yeah, and so I think it's fabulous that we have somebody, you know, that we have an event for those who like to ride bikes, and the swim is a great event, and and the run, and so, I mean, this is a great place to, you know, and then Schweitzer All Winter has all kinds of ski things, and so it's really fun to bring people here. Our biggest draw is from Seattle, of course. Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, of course, Spokane. And Portland is an emerging market, so we seem to see quite a people. That's why Winter Carnival is a huge economic boon as well, but Winter Carnival was specifically put during Seattle's winter break. So the hill keeps them occupied the first weekend, and then there's all kinds of events going on in town, and so they come down and enjoy those.
Sure. Do you have the dates for Winter Carnival?
Winter Carnival is February 14th through the 23rd.
Oh, excellent.
And it starts on the 14th with the Parade of Lights. The theme is Love and Light, and it's free to be in the parade, and it's a fun little parade that lasts maybe 25 minutes, but the streets are packed.
And what about that doggy keg pull?
Oh, the canine keg pull. Oh.
Yes.
Well, there might be some exciting news about the canine keg pull, but I'm not going to tell you about it. But it always is the very last thing of our event. You know, the last, and it's amazing. We have TV stations from all over Spokane who show up, and
I know people who consider it the social event of
yes,
the year.
Yes, it's great, and I love the little chihuahuas pulling pop cans. And
don't tell me it's going to be a cat division.
No, we did. We had a. We always have blue heelers, but we had one dog that we thought we're going to train her. So we trained her out in the middle of the street with the sled, and it was so great. And then when she got to the event, we didn't train her that there'd be, you know, hundreds of people there, and she just kind of sat and looked like, "Yeah, I'm not doing this." Yeah, but oh well. Yeah, it's going to be fabulous. It's always fabulous with Jeff and his gang putting that on. And who knew, right? Starting in the alley behind iCards, that it would become this giant event. But yeah, and we always use that to close it out. And the Weird Wonderful Pub Crawl will be the Saturday before that Justin, Dick, and Mac Dibble put on. And that's always fun. We get a lot of people from Spokane for that.
There's a certain amount of recreation in that pub crawling.
And exercise. Yes, right? You're walking from pub to pub.
Hopefully walking.
And of course,
people, better be.
People are, might come for the razzle-dazzle of the food and beverage and the spectator sports, but it's a great time to, over the Winter Carnival weekend, to visit the ski slopes.
Oh, yeah.
At Schweitzer or our local Nordic skiing, various areas around town.
Right, Pine Street Woods up there. And yeah, we want to go try that too, the Nordic skiing. And right, there's snowshoeing. And
ice skating.
I wish. Well, Third Street Pier, you can go and ice skate, but I wish we had an ice ribbon.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be
that
great?
That would be nice.
Something to dream of.
I know, right?
For 2021, maybe.
Exactly. Right.
Well, Kate McAllister, I want to thank you for joining us this morning representing the chamber. You do such great work in town.
Thank you very, very much.
Thanks for coming in. Remember, you have to come back for the big reveal for the new event.
Oh, I will. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And so we have another song giving us thoughts about the new year coming in, the old year going out. And with that, we'll play it.
Which one do you have on?
And here we are back at KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. This is the Tuesday morning show with Julie Calamine and Phil Huff, and we've just finished interviewing, four of our great community residents who have helped with big events that have happened in 2019 in the outdoors and recreation.
And what a great year 2019 was, and it looks like 2020 is shaping up to be a wonderful another outdoor recreation year. We look forward to all of these events, and if you wanted more information, you can go to the URLs that were provided, of course, do a Google search, or just contact us here at KRFY, and we'll put you in touch. Upcoming morning shows this week, tomorrow, of course, is New Year's Day, and so Chris and Susie are taking the day off to enjoy New Year's Day, so there'll be no morning show. Thursday, though, the morning show returns on January 2nd with our morning show hosts and their guest, Hannah Combs from the Pondere Arts Council. Airtime is 8 a.m. As always, remember that 88.5 KRFY is listener-supported, commercial-free community radio from North Idaho. You can become a sponsor today by making a donation at krfy.org.
Yes, so what else is happening, Phil? What are we doing next week?
Well, on our morning show next week, we're going to introduce some of our new underwriters. So speaking of underwriting and supporting the station, we're going to welcome to the underwriting class of 2020, Idaho Conservation League, along with the Idaho Master Naturalists and the Rock Creek Alliance. We'll have representatives from each in to talk a little bit about their organizations and also why they support community radio.
Yes, it'll be nice to introduce them and learn more about their organizations.
And I think we're going to go out with a song, another favorite from 2019. One of the premier events of our area is the festival at Sandpoint, and a festival favorite this year was Jackson Browne. You can't go wrong by ending the year with a little Jackson Browne.
You sure can't. And so